Radio Prague News.
Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer has welcomed the selection of two politicians to fill new high-level posts in the EU. Swine flu has claimed a fourth life in the Czech Republic, and a woman who helped her husband escape from prison by attacking his police escort has been taken into custody as she recovers from gunshot wounds in hospital. The Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer has welcomed the selection of two politicians to fill new high-level posts in the European Union. Belgium's Herman Van Rompuy will be the first president of the European Council, while Catherine Ashton of the UK becomes the bloc's foreign policy chief. Mr. Fischer said both names suited Prague, adding that they had the skills to do well in the positions. He said he felt close to Mr. Van Rompuy, who, like him, is an economist by training. Swine flu has claimed the life of a fourth victim in the Czech Republic. Hospital officials in the West Bohemian town of Karlovy Vary said that a 56-year-old man had succumbed to a generally poor state of health complicated by the H1N1 virus. Another three patients with the illness are currently hospitalized. Two of them are in critical condition. The four deaths in the Czech Republic in which swine flu was a contributing factor have all occurred over the last month. Karlovy Vary is one of the regions with the highest incidence of swine flu cases in the Czech Republic. A woman who helped her husband escape from prison by attacking his police escort has been taken into custody, even as she recovers from gunshot wounds in hospital. In the case, the media has dubbed the Czech Bonnie and Clyde, 28-year-old Dagmar Tauchenova opened fire on prison guards, escorting the prisoner to a nearby hospital. Mr. Tauchen had been sentenced to 5 years for safecracking and committed suicide when police caught up with them on the run. Ms. Tauchenova is incapacitated after being shot in the lung as she tried to get away. The fact that she will now be moved to a high-security hospital underscores the gravity with which the judicial system views her offenses, for which she faces 8 years imprisonment. A homeless man in Tachov near the western German border who was sleeping in a paper rubbish container is dead after collectors inadvertently dumped him in the compactor. The refuse collectors only realized what was happening when they heard the man scream from inside the compactor and were unable to stop the machine in time. The victim was 25 years old. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions are expected to remain partly cloudy over the coming days with highs of roughly 10 degrees Celsius and a chance of rain on Sunday. I'm Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the head of the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes, Pavel Žáček, under fire. Former Czech President Václav Havel has joined calls for him to be dismissed from his post. The Senate has banned an appearance by the controversial Dutch politician Geert Wilders on its premises. We'll bring you the latest business news, and later on in the show, a new exhibition features rare audio and video from the communist era. All that and more coming your way, so do please stay with us. The Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes is under pressure this week after a petition was circulated calling for the dismissal of the Institute's director, Pavel Žáček. Now, such petitions are not uncommon in the Czech Republic, and this one, circulated by former dissident Stanislav Bence, might have gone more or less unnoticed had it not been signed by ex-president Václav Havel. Rob Cameron has this report.
Just days ago, Czechs were celebrating the 20th anniversary of the start of the so-called Velvet Revolution, the month of non-violent protests that brought down the communist regime. Coming to terms with that regime can still prove controversial, however. This week, a new petition was circulated by a former dissident named Stanislav Pence, urging the dismissal of Pavel Žáček, head of the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes. Mr. Žáček, a former student leader from 1989, has been criticised following the publication of a new book naming Joška Skalník, a founding member of Civic Forum, the group that led the Velvet Revolution, as a secret police informant. The book was published without consulting Mr. Skalník on the claim, which he strongly denies. For Stanislav Pence, author of the petition, this was the final straw in a long list of failures.
The aim is for the institute to function properly. At the moment, the way it functions is that Pavel Žáček uses lies and untruths to further his arguments. He tells politicians and other people across the country that without him there'll be no more examination of the past and the institute won't exist. In a democracy, this just isn't possible. State institutions and their directors are replaceable, like all of us are. And Pavel Žáček should not try to play the role of victim or the country's only savior.
Pavel Žáček, for his part, told Radio Prague that the book was about Civic Forum, not Joška Skalník. Claims that Mr. Skalník was a secret police informer working under the codename Goch, said Mr. Žáček, were not new and first surfaced in 1990. Pavel Žáček says those behind the petition are trying to censor the documents in his care.
It's very hard to me to understand the petition. 20 years after the fall of communist regime in Czechoslovakia, it's like a voice from the past. It's a voice for censorship of archive documents. I think it's very necessary for our research, for our society, to work with these materials, even with materials of former secret police, and to present it. I know it's a very sensitive theme, but we are not here to censor any of these materials.
The Skalník case demonstrates the difficulties for a country trying to face its communist past. Professor Mark Kramer, director of Cold War Studies at Harvard University and a member of the Czech Institute's advisory board.
He should have been consulted, there's no question. But the issue is whether the book should have been put together at all. And there I think it certainly should have been. It's a legitimate topic of study. And there is certainly room for debate about the tone of it and some of the specific contents, including the identification of this person. But this institute, bear in mind, is only a couple of years old, and it's undoubtedly going to have some problems at the beginning because it's an institute that, by its nature, is going to encounter a lot of opposition.
Pavel Žáček says he will meet Joška Skalník next week to clarify the matter. Speaking in an interview with the weekly magazine Reflex, Mr. Skalník strongly denied having informed on the organisation he helped to create. However, several of President Havel's former aides told Lidové Noviny newspaper on Friday that Josef Skalník had admitted the allegations when they confronted him with them in 1990, and as a result, he was immediately sacked as Václav Havel's advisor.
My thanks to Rob Cameron for that story. The Czech Senate on Thursday banned an appearance by the controversial Dutch politician Geert Wilders on its premises. Mr. Wilders was going to screen his anti-Islamic film Fitna and address a conference held by Czech anti-Islamists and Eurosceptics. Jan Richter has the details.
The controversial anti-Islamic movie Fitna by Geert Wilders, the leader of the Dutch Party for Freedom, was due to be shown in the Czech Senate on the 30th of November. Mr. Wilders, who will be coming to Prague at the invitation of a Czech anti-Islamist website, Eurabia.cz, and Civic Democrat Senator Jiří Oberfalzer, was going to deliver an address entitled Free Speech and the Islamization of Europe. The news immediately sparked a huge controversy, and Senate leaders eventually banned Mr. Wilders from appearing on the premises of the upper chamber. Civic Democrat Přemysl Sobotka is the Senate's chair.
When I found out about the details and when I learned about what he was going to talk about here in the Senate, I said clearly it was a problem that such a controversial politician should appear in one of the chambers of the Czech Parliament.
Na půdě jedné z komor parlamentu přicházel takto kontroverzní politik.
The Senate's Media Commission, which originally approved the event, revoked its decision. Meanwhile, the Civic Democratic Party distanced itself from the invite, and so did the heads of both chambers' foreign committees. I asked one of the organizers, Daniel Kotula, whether he was surprised by the reaction.
I expected that there will be some voices which will not welcome the Wilders' visit, but I did not expect that it will be from Civic Democrats because of very similar opinions of Wilders and Civic Democrat Party. So I don't understand. I expected, for example, for some Social Democrats and the Greens and so on, but not from Civic Democrats.
Senator Jiří Oberfalzer, who is well known for his opposition to the EU's Lisbon Treaty, and the editors of Eurabia.cz are now looking for another venue. They want to draw attention to how the Lisbon Treaty will change the immigration policies within the European Union. Daniel Kotula again.
It's also related to the Lisbon Treaty because of in the Lisbon Treaty there are some paragraphs about the immigration flows, and now when Lisbon Treaty is signed, can European Union make movements in the European countries and can change the flow of immigration, for example, from Italy to the Central Europe.
The country's several dozen thousand strong Muslim community is unfazed by the event, regardless of where Geert Wilders will screen his anti-Islamic movie. Mohammad Abbas is the head of the Muslim Union of the Czech Republic.
Traditionally, the Muslim community here ignores such provocations. This man is coming to provoke, and I think that if we react to this, it will be the things which he wants. He wants to show Muslims as a people who are not rational. I think that the best thing to do for him is to ignore him, just like that.
Mohammad Abbas, head of the Muslims Union of the Czech Republic, ending that report by Jan Richter. Now we move on to a story that made headlines in all the Czech papers today. A rare white tigress was killed by two lions at the Liberec Zoo in North Bohemia on Thursday, as zookeepers stood by helpless, unable to prevent the tragedy. In the incident, the lions somehow managed to lift a trapdoor leading to an open-air enclosure where the tigress was at the time. The lions reacted, enforcing their right to the territory, fatally trapping the animal and killing her. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Rare white tigers are the pride of Liberec Zoo, North Bohemia, and also the pride of many of the town's citizens. Even Liberec's professional hockey team features the tigers in its name and logo. So on Thursday, it was sad news when people learned that one of the animals, the famous 17-year-old Isabella, had been attacked and killed by two of the zoo's lions. Under normal circumstances, the animals would never have come into contact, but some way or another, the lions were able to lift a heavy trapdoor and slip into an open-air enclosure the tigress was occupying. Zoo workers heard the big cat's cries, but were unable to help. Zoologist Luboš Melichar spoke to Czech TV.
We ran to the spot at the beginning of the encounter and worked to try and distract the lion's attention. But the situation was hopeless. Afterwards, we had to wait as one of the lions stood over the tiger long after she had died. We were considering having to sedate him so we could get to her.
The lion circumvented a security system which had been used successfully for 12 years, allowing the zoo to rotate its big cats from one pavilion without their coming into contact. When it happened, the lions reacted according to instinct, protecting what they perceived as their territory. The zoo has since said it will no longer rotate the remaining species back to back and will add further security to prevent a similar accident from happening. It also stressed that at no time were any visitors or anyone else under threat on Thursday, given that the barriers are numerous and insurmountable. After the death of Isabella, the zoo still retains three other white tigers, including her daughter. The three are the only specimens of the rare tiger in the Czech Republic.
Jan Wellinger with that unbelievable story from Liberec Zoo. And now, this being Friday, it's time for a summary of the week's business news, for which I'm joined by Chris Johnstone.
Czech's chances of buying a stake in the booming state debt direct have been delayed. The Ministry of Finance's launch of bond sales direct to citizens for the first time will now not happen until the spring of 2010. The original timetable had been for this to start in the autumn. But Parliament still has to approve legal changes needed for the bond sale. The 10-year-old bond is expected to offer an interest rate between 4.5% and 5%. Local banks have not been too happy about the bond sale, since it will be competition for cash that they would like to see customers putting on their deposit accounts.
Around 30 to 40% of one of the biggest Czech banks, ČSOB, will be sold on the local stock exchange in 2010. New shares in ČSOB might also be issued to boost its capital base. The sale was confirmed this week by ČSOB's owner, the Belgian banking group KBC. It has been forced to offload assets in return for European Commission clearance for a rescue package of aid from the Belgian state at the height of the financial crisis. As part of a group-wide overhaul, corporate and market activities will also be cut. The shares issue will be the biggest on the Prague exchange since mining company New World Resources was listed in 2008.
The Czech Republic has been caught up in a massive credit card data leak. Local banks and other credit companies have cancelled more than 10,000 cards following a massive data leak traced back to Spain. In neighbouring Germany, the recall has affected 100,000 customers. Czech banks have said they will compensate those customers whose accounts have already been pumped as a result of the data leak.
The Czech home construction market is still struggling to pull itself out of the economic downturn. Latest third quarter figures show that there were 5.7% fewer projects started and 8.8% fewer completed compared with the same period in 2008. More worrying for the future, there was an around 10% drop in planning permissions awarded by authorities. The value of new domestic construction orders is also down 26.4%. Compared with those registered in the third quarter of 2008. Builders complain banks are refusing to lend cash for new construction projects.
Czech tram manufacturer Inecon this week began shipping three sets of trams to the US capital. But the debut of the Czech trams on the streets of Washington still seems hampered by local planning problems. According to The Economist magazine, one of the two stretches of track where the trams are due to run will not now be ready until 2012. The other piece of track in the centre of the city is covered by laws conserving the skyline and banning overhead tram wires. Now it seems the Czech trams could be running in 4 or perhaps 5 years at the earliest. Inecon had hoped for a big marketing boost from Czech trams serving Washington.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, and you'll find all those business stories plus much more at radio.cz. Now, in the last part of our show, The Arts, Ian Willoughby will take you to an exhibition just a few steps away from Czech Radio.
Za svobodu, called Be Free in English, is the title of a new exhibition the Czech National Museum opened on Tuesday's anniversary of the start of the Velvet Revolution. It's located in the institution's new building, the former home of Czechoslovakia's Federal Assembly, and is co-curated by Lucia Svěrčeková.
We created this exhibition in order to show the four-decade period in Czechoslovakia between after the war and 1989, to show how propaganda was omnipresent here and to show how free information did manage to get into the country. We'd like to bring people today closer to the atmosphere of that time.
Bratříčku, nevzlikej, to nejsou bubáci, vždyť už si velikej, to jsou jen vojáci. Přijeli v hranatých, železných maringotkách.
Be Free is divided into two halves. The first focuses on the 1950s and 60s, featuring, for example, chilling video footage of prosecutor Josef Urválek opening the show trial of communist politician Rudolf Slánský. The second half turns the spotlight on the last two decades of totalitarian rule in Czechoslovakia. Svěrčeková describes some of the items on display.
Máme tu ohrádku ze soudních politických procesů.
We have a court dock in a section dedicated to the show trials of the 1950s, a dock where defendants stood. We have original and replica balloons by means of which Radio Free Europe flyers were dropped into the country. We have a clock that was in the studio of Radio Free Europe when it was bombed. And we have the original designs for the logo of Civic Forum, which were done by the graphic designer Pavel Šťastný. They are in the free space, the final section of the exhibition.
Ty jsou v tom svobodném prostoru, v té závěrečné části.
Podařilo se mě získat důvěru pracovníků československého oddělení.
Among a number of videos running in Be Free is this one of a 1976 news conference featuring Pavel Minářík, who was an STB secret police officer. A former presenter on Czechoslovak radio, Minářík was a spy for 7 years at Radio Free Europe in Munich and was later used by the communist regime in an attempt to discredit the station. He was also accused of planting the bomb referred to just now by Lucia Svěrčeková, though he was cleared by a Prague court some years later. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, is one of the partners of the Be Free show. The station moved from Munich to Prague in the 1990s, and for several years was based in the former Federal Assembly building that now houses the exhibition. Prokop Tomek is another of its curators.
Toto místo je památné, protože tady sídlil.
This place is remembered as the home of the Federal Parliament of the Czechoslovak Socialist Republic. It was a place of propaganda and lies, because the parliament had absolutely no impact on affairs in the country. It was a formal puppet institution.
Formální a loutková instituce.
Tato budova byla takové taky trochu divadlo toho, jak se tady vlastně byl ten.
This building was a bit of a theatre. The parliament was here and then the radio station. Our exhibition is a bit theatrical too. It shows, partly using videos, how this place spread demagoguery in various directions. Then Radio Free Europe was here, so we've got everything covered, I think.
Na Evropa, takže v podstatě máme snad pokryto všechno.
Pavel také zmínil dopis, který Občanské fórum poslalo prezidentu Bushovi a Michailu.
This recording from Be Free features Radio Free Europe journalist Pavel Pecháček, broadcasting news of events during the early days of the Velvet Revolution, directly from Prague's Wenceslas Square. It's one of a number of rare audio materials visitors can enjoy. Prokop Tomek.
V těch 50. letech máme nějaké nahrávky z Rádia Svobodná Evropa z těch počátků.
In the 1950s section, we have some recordings from the early days of Radio Free Europe. But what I think is extremely interesting are recordings of phone calls to RFE, or actually to the Free Press Agency, which collected information from Czechoslovakia in the 1980s for RFE. We have recordings of people like Václav Havel and Petr Uhl, who were relaying information about what was happening in dissident circles, about persecution, about demonstrations, and so on.
O persekuci, o průběhu demonstrací a tak dál.
Those recordings, never publicly heard before, can be listened to via actual phones, in the same kind of phone booths from which Václav Havel and others spoke to the Free Press Agency in Munich. Near those booths you'll find a recreated center for the production of illegal underground literature.
Máme takzvanou samizdatovou dílnu, jsou to cyklostyly, psací stroje.
We have what's called a samizdat workshop. There you'll find stencil duplicators, typewriters, equipment which was smuggled into the country, for instance, for the Charter 77 Foundation. It was used to make samizdat, meaning self-made books and magazines. But in the 1980s, samizdat also involved tapes featuring music and video. So you can see how, as time went by, citizens managed to spread free information themselves. They weren't dependent on official information or information smuggled in by exiles.
Dozvědí ze západu od exulantů třeba.
Finally, once you've seen all that, you might want to go for a coffee. Prokop Tomek.
Ta výstava vrcholí v takové improvizované kavárně, kde bude možné si přečíst.
The exhibition culminates in a kind of improvised cafe where you can read some printed Samizdat materials and exile literature. It's a kind of free space that you get to after a section dedicated to the fall of the Berlin Wall and the Velvet Revolution. It's a space that shows where we've come from and what kind of world we're living in today.
Jsme vycházeli a kde vlastně dnes žijeme.
Za svobodu, or Be Free, runs until June next year.
Bratříčku, nevzlikej, to nejsou bubáci, vždyť už si velikej, to jsou jen vojáci. Přijeli v hranatých, železných maringotkách.
The arts was prepared and presented by Ian Willoughby, and I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Should you like to contact us about anything you heard in the show, then our email address is english@radio.cz, and you can also send your letters to Vinohradská 12, postal code number 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening today and goodbye.
Tato noc nebude krátká, beránka vlku se zachtělo, bratříčku, zavřel si vrátka. Bratříčku, nevzlikej, neplítvej slzami, na dávky polikej a šetři silami, nesmíš mi vyčítat, jestliže nedojdeme. Nauč se písničku, není tak složitá, opři se, bratříčku, cesta je rozbitá. Budeme klopítat, zpátky už nemůžeme. Prší a venku se setmělo, tato noc nebude krátká, beránka vlku se zachtělo, bratříčku, zavírej vrátka, zavírej.
Jaro větry vanou od jihu do cely, s Bohem či naschledanou, obecné veselí. Jsou stromy plné mízy a někdo jiný sklízí. To, co jsme zaseli, to, co jsme zaseli. Jsou stromy plné mízy a někdo jiný sklízí. Co jsme zaseli, to, co jsme zaseli. Ačkoliv dozvonilo poslední zvonění, před v duši temno zbylo a v srdci vězení. Povinných ani slechu a jiným ku prospěchu jsou naši ranění. Naši ranění, povinných ani slechu a jiným ku prospěchu jsou naši ranění, jsou naši ranění. Je jaro, ledy plovou s narkózou do žíly.